Greetings, this is Nigeria Anderson, and you at Urban Buzz Magazine, and I have Keith Mitchell on the line. He has a new single out called He's Alive. And I tell you, Keith, when you talk about an end time song, this is an end time song, He's Alive, because we better believe that, okay?
We better believe that.
On everything.
I got one of my songs that says put a little prayer on everything.
Okay. So you are straight in motion, coming out the gate early. Now the project is called Food for Your Life. So I'm excited because, I mean, jumping out there where He's Alive. Oh my goodness. And I love the song. We're playing it on our radio show. Thank you. If you're not familiar with Keith Mitchell, he's a singer, songwriter, former singer of After Seven. And you know, ready or not, Al. Okay, so this is why he didn't call me for the backgrounds, but it's okay. I'm trying. But Keith, you stepping out here in the forefront, solo, doing what God has called you to do. And I am loving that. I love people who've been part of a group or was in the background. It's something about you. It's something about the people in the background who get called to, who patiently wait, do their due diligence, take notes, be on time, perform, don't mind that position, because I've realized from Mariah Carey to Luther Vandross to now many more, but Keith Mitchell, when God pulls you up to that front stage, I mean, my goodness. Yeah. I mean, and you've even toured with Whitney Houston and some of the greats, but when you...
Some of the greats, yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm clear. Greats, okay? When you are the next... in line, I feel a Shirley Caesar moment coming. You're next in line for your miracle. Okay.
I am openly ready to accept that responsibility. And, you know, I know that God has been sitting on my shoulder pretty much my entire life. At the age of seven is where I began to sing in a church choir and developed the passion and the love of music. And moreover, harmony and singing about God, singing about the glory of God, directing the young adult choir at the age of 12, 13, 14. I've been dipped in Christ for a long time. I think he's worked on me, but, you know, we tend to ignore the calling a lot of times that's been placed on your life.
That's the truth. Now, a young choir director, was they teasing you when you was young and talking about Jesus?
Well, no, because fortunately, this is in Indianapolis, Indiana. I was a member of Zion Tabernacle Church, and they were part of the Pentecostal Assembly of the World. They were one of the mover and shaker churches in the city.
Okay.
And, you know, my brothers and sisters and I had formed a little young group when I was in the 7-8 year old range, and we were called the Stars of Zion. So I was introduced kind of to the stage and being in front of small audiences at a young age. So I think I got more teasing about the fact that I loved to sing when I would walk to school when I was in grade school. Uh-huh. And people, you know, kids would say, man, you can't sing. Why are you always singing? You can't sing. You know, I really didn't pay attention to them saying I can't sing because I wasn't singing to get any notoriety.
Okay.
I was just singing because I loved to sing and I'd been around the church. And so it's just something that happens to you when your mother's dragging you to church every week and the choirs are singing in choir rehearsals. So it just naturally kind of rubs off on you.
That's right.
No, I never really got teased about it, but it just grew on me.
I love it. And then you get older, you go to Indiana University, right?
Yeah.
And
yes, ma'am.
You major in business, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And then you get into the music business. Now, did that help any in your introduction to the music business? Did you have a more clear sense of expectation, or was it just different and you just kind of learned as you went?
Well, I have to honestly say that it was called the IU Soul Review and it was a college course. They gave you a grade for your participation. You had to audition to be in it. It was comprised of more than 40 different people, and myself and Kevon met during one of these classes, and you had to audition to be in it. So he and I were in a stand-up male vocal group. There was a mixed vocal group with two guys and two girls, and it was a third vocal group that was a four-girl, all-girl group. And then you'd have two rhythm sections with different students, one of them playing like a first half of the show, and then another rhythm section playing the second half of the show. And then the rest of the cast of characters was made up of stage coaches, vocal coaches, choreographers, production people, all that. The whole thing was an opportunity for you to learn to perform and to learn the business of music. So it was a heck of an experience. And, you know, I got 3 years of an A in that class.
Obviously, because look from then, and we're in 2025, so your A's qualified you to not only be part of After Seven and branch off to be Keith Mitchell doing his own thing.
Yeah.
Now, I love speaking to people like yourself who have over three decades of experience in the industry, because I really enjoy that wealth of experience to share. And there's so many entities to becoming a recording artist, a singer, and a songwriter, producer, etc. Now, were you writing songs all along, or have you just now recently honed in on your songwriting skills?
Honest to goodness, Keith has never written a poem, let alone a song, prior to my experience of what I've learned being in the group After Seven, being in a studio with Babyface, L.A., Daryl Simmons, Damon Thomas, and quite a few others.
Right.
Where you don't really get to talk, you don't really get to answer questions, but you participate and you watch.
Come on
so
now.
I am a person that if I see you do something, because I have a construction company too, and I learned how to do the construction stuff by watching other people do things. So it was no different as seeing someone hang drywall or someone put down a hardwood floor. I watched them do it. I learned how to do it one time. I got you. Same thing in the studio. I had more opportunities to watch, and eventually I learned, and I gave myself an opportunity after a divorce to buy a Pro Tools, you know, component, and I had the computer, and I taught myself how to use the Pro Tools and enough to take two-track recordings, drop it into the Pro Tools, and play around with recording. And I've watched myself and others record under the tutelage of, you know, Daryl Simmons and Babyface in L.A. So you learn some things by watching, and I applied them, and that's where I developed the ability to write and sing. And I got my concepts that you'll hear in Food for Your Life, the album, from sermons that I attended World Changers in Atlanta. I'm listening just like very, very vividly. I can listen and learn. And I would take those sermons and have all these notes and have all the scriptures, and I'd go back and I'd pull that out when I was attempting to make music. Okay. Now, I had two tracks coming from young producers, but I would sit and I would write from those sermons. The sermons turn into songs.
I love it.
My method is totally kind of unique. I know a lot of people, you know, Diane Warren can just sit down at a piano and write a song. Everybody's got all these different ways, but I needed the accompaniment of already canned music, but God came to me and helped me pull together those thoughts and these stories about my love, my joy, my happiness, all about the glorification of God, magnifying God, the power in the blood of Jesus Christ, the power in the word of Christ. All of these sermons minister to me. And what I've taken is those ministry opportunities of sitting in church and put them into song. So my songs will be heavily laden with the word of God.
I love it. And, you know, that's so true, because Some things are taught, and then some things are caught. And so I like that you said, you know, while in the midst of your career, you were catching things and being able to obtain it and use it for your favor. Now, working mm-hmm. with Babyface, we're not going to just throw his name out there and not give him a little credit.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything that a process that he may have had that you caught, or any disciplines that he may have had that you use? And not to minimize your skill, talents, and abilities. I hope you understand what I'm saying.
No, I understand exactly what you're saying.
I would never
throw shade on Babyface LA or Daryl Simmons or any other producer.
Right.
But yes, it would only make sense that you're going to learn something in that environment. That
right.
is where I learned
right.
everything
right.
that I know about the process of recording music, laying vocals down, seeing the use of how they approach a song, listening to the different melodies of music that are being played in the track.
Right.
So you have a percussion that may be playing one melody. You have pads, the keyboards that are playing another melody. You have a drum beat. You have a snare. You have percussion. All of everything inside of a song musically has a different melody. So when one song is being played, there's the dominant melody, but there are also other melodies. And so often you learn that the vocals can ride over another melody that's not the core melody of a track.
Right.
So yes, I learned how to listen.
Come
and,
on. Mm-hmm.
You know, take those listening sessions and apply it to my process to putting together a song, because I arranged all my vocals.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, I'm singing 3-part, 4-part harmony. There's nobody in the studio but me and an engineer.
Right.
So there's no producer. My producers have already made a track and sent over the track, and we just dump it in the computer and then boo, 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 boo.
Right.
And then how I'm going to sing it, how I'm going to, you know, put background vocals, layer background vocals, all of that is coming from my experience out of the LaFace cocoon. So I give high kudos to Babyface and Daryl Simmons and the whole process of how After Seven approaches what we do
right.
in singing a song.
Right.
Breathy, sweet, tender. So you're going to get that. You're going to feel that sound coming out of me. If you've listened to He's Alive,
mm-hmm.
you can clearly see that, you know, there's a sound similarity that is part of After Seven. Part of the iconic sound of After Seven has me in it. Naturally, my vocals are going to have a part of that experience in them. And I applaud it and give it all the praise and acknowledgement that could be given, considering I've spent 30+ years
right.
in that organization.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Man, salute. That was an excellent response. First of all, let me tell you something about He's Alive. That intro is fire. I gotta tell you that. I haven't heard chords like that. That thing come on. Okay, so I'm a former club girl, okay? So let me tell you, that intro came in and I was like, oh, whoa, okay. I see you.
That Hammond
come
B3
on,
smoking.
Keith, why you did that to us? Why you did that? I was like, oh, he not playing. He is not playing with us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not at all.
Not at
we
all.
Not,
we sir.
Not playing.
Not at all.
Not at all. And you gonna get some more of that and some more.
Okay.
People will really be kind of blown away with the quality of the music, the variety of the music. The fact that there will be hip hop, there will be, you know, some of the tracks have what sounds that will make you think about trap music.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my whole presence is, okay, I may be an older person,
mm-hmm.
but my music is not old. My
approach
to music is not old.
Mm-hmm.
See, youth are the power of the church, okay? And so when you don't have youth in your church can die.
Come on, sir.
What I'm talking about are the church organizations around the country. What keeps them alive is youth.
Right.
And what attracts youth is music.
Right.
So we just can't always tailor our music to the older fashions in the church.
Right.
Even though I feel like I got something for the older folks, I got something for the young folks. I got something for everybody. I got something for Joel Osteen over there and Joyce Myers, Kenneth Copeland.
Right.
I got something for y'all, too. You just want some old good old-fashioned Himmlum?
Right.
We got that, too.
I love
so
it.
So I'm really excited that I put together a body of work that I think will work for really everybody.
And it's yours. It comes from
and
your heart.
And it's mine. I wrote it all.
That's right. That's right. And how does that feel? How are you feeling, like, putting this project together? What was that refreshing feeling of freedom feeling like?
Well, that's a special, great question. And it is totally a different feeling, because when you come up out of the cocoon, you are restricted by the cocoon. But the freedom allowed me to take the bits and pieces from what I've learned,
mm-hmm.
and add my own inner sense spice,
mm-hmm.
to the presentation of the music, meaning that there are no limits.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. You know, there are no limits as to what I can do and how I can approach this, because I've heard so many times, well, you don't want to say that word at the beginning of a sentence or at the end of a sentence, or you don't want to say, you know, there are certain etiquettes about the lyrical presentation in a song when you're writing a song. Well, guess what? Keith didn't have none of those rules. So if I say it time in a particular two or three phrases and I use the word time, well, time works and time fits and it makes sense.
Right.
And you hear the record, you want to go through and break it down and say, oh, he said time three times. Go right ahead. But I'm going to tell you this. The whole song got you. What I'm saying is the melody, the lyrics, and the music will have you fixated. So if you want to sit and critique little things like that, but I'm saying, as I learned about putting music together in my cocoon that I came out of, there were some do's and don'ts.
Right.
The freedom of having to be able to do a lyric the way you want to, sing something the way you want to. I mean, because we had fun in After 7. I mean, what we did as a threesome in the studio, you know, there was a time when we first started, the three of us would be in the booth together singing a hook.
Mm.
Well, they don't do that no more. They take one person at a time.
Wow.
Okay? So to do what we did was very difficult. Ready or Not, the After 7 album,
mm-hmm.
that's three people in the booth. At a time.
Right.
So all them background vocals that you hear, Ready or Not, I'll give you everything and more. That's all of us singing it the same way at the same time.
And you can feel it. It gives off a different energy. Yeah, I love it.
Absolutely. So all of that, you know, we were under some structure. So I've taken the best of all that and allowed Keith to use the past, the present, and the future in his presentation in Food for Your Life. And I really do believe that it's different, it's fun, and people are going to, the message is above all. How we praise God, I just believe that we have a commitment. Thousands of people run and see After 7, they run and see Kendrick Lamar, and I love all these artists,
mm-hmm.
okay? Whitney Houston, Bobby Brown, New Edition, I love them all.
Right.
But look at the reaction that we give an artist today who's just singing about love,
mm-hmm.
and a relationship or having fun or a new dance.
Right.
Couldn't God's word and name be praised in whatever could possibly be your highest effort?
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, we shouldn't be restricted in church that we can't dance and shout how much we love it.
Right.
And I put those thoughts and that energy in my track.
I love it.
So these tracks is going to make you dance. I'm sorry, you are not going to sit still. And I'm going to be singing about Jesus and the love of him, how much I love him, how much I praise him. All of that's coming out.
Yeah, and it's okay. So, it's okay. You know.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. You know, let everything with breath praise the Lord. And
praise ye the Lord.
That's right. And if you
make a joyful noise,
come on, sir.
The Lord.
Come on, sir. You know, let's do it. However we need to do it.
Yes.
What I love about you in your length of time in the industry, and something I always give kudos to is the Bible says, after you've strengthened yourself, go back and strengthen your brother. And you have definitely put people on, help other artists. Talk about that a little bit. Brag on yourself a little bit. We don't mind that.
I mean, I just feel like it's a natural order of life that you get the opportunity to have longevity in living. You have longevity in growing in your personal life, in business, in developing friendships, love ship. We owe it back. And that's kind of what I'm doing now in my social media efforts, is that people never really got to know me because I was in the group and I didn't get to sing out front. So, you know, my light was probably dimmed, is a good way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
But now that my light can shine more boldly and brightly, I feel it's my responsibility to share about my pathway and how I got here.
Come on.
How I survived. Was I working on my goal? I mean, because it wasn't my goal to become an entertainer. I like to make people understand music wasn't the guiding force in my life. I went to school to major in business.
Right.
I really didn't know that much about music, even though I loved it and had passion. But see, I'm here to tell you, God is the guide arm in your life.
Right.
You see,
that's right.
Saying? He exposed me to music. He dipped me in the word of Christ. Then he put protection on my life. He put grace on my life. And then he let me go. He let me make a couple of choices. I chose and I went that way. Bump your head. I went this way. Bump your head. He opened the door over here. You ran through that door. He showed you some prosperity. You recognized him, but you still wasn't putting him in front of everything else. You keep finding yourself on these different paths of your choice.
Right.
But all along, that path is leading you to where he wants you to go. It's a matter, do you really, really ever just say stop? And see, you get these stop moments.
Right.
I had a stop moment when I got married, got a divorce, feeling in the state of despair, like I wrote in the song, He's Alive.
Mm-hmm.
No need to feel despair, living all alone. God will meet you on the road. He'll never leave you on your own. That was me.
Right, right.
And that ain't just me. That's the world is experiencing, that little piece of experience. But that, writing that song 25 years ago propelled me for me to be prepared for today.
See,
even though I'm walking towards whatever I think in life is what he has for me or what I want for myself, I'm still walking on his pathway.
Right.
He still got my hand, and that's how I got here today. And so now I'm fulfilling the responsibility of sharing this music because he gave it to me. I'm not a songwriter. I've become a songwriter in the fact that I wrote these songs.
Right.
And now the songs are being published and shared with the public. So now, yeah, I'm a songwriter, but I did this with the hand of God.
Right.
And so it's a hell of a thing. It's a tickling thing inside to know that now you're really doing God's work.
And talk about the female artist that you were helping. Or are you still working with her?
Oh, Sarai?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, that was probably maybe 12 years ago. I worked with Sarai.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarai was from upstate New York. Very special, super talented young lady. I met her in Atlanta, and she had kind of came here on a little weekend spurt, met some young songwriters and producers, and they kind of put her under their wing and helped her develop her skill set as a writer and as a young rapper. And, you know, she's a young white girl.
Right.
And so extremely talented. They ended up penning some songs with her writing and them writing, and they heard about me in Atlanta, and somebody introduced me to them. They had me go by the studio, and I met Sarai, S-A-R-A-I, and I met those young producers, and ultimately, I was able to get her a record deal over at Epic Records with Dave McPherson, and, you know, she had quite a bit of success with that, with her first album, and it was a great experience for me to get to represent her.
Right,
and
right.
You know, basically, almost the first, one of the first female white girls to rap. But she was a legitimate because, you know, she could freestyle. We took her across New York, different boroughs, where she just rapped walking on the street.
I love it.
And, you know,
I love
her street cred, she was legit.
Right.
That's what made her so unique. But Epic Records kind of dropped the ball with that. And her single was number one at Z100 in New York, right?
Okay.
She's number one on B96 in Chicago. This song called Ladies, written by this young man named Ollie B. And the song is at number one in the charts, but the video hadn't come out yet.
Right.
So we finally get to finishing this video. The video is going to debut on MTV on one of their little teen programs in the early morning. Mm-hmm. And don't you know, she's standing there with the cameras running. Hey, guys, this is my new single, Ladies. Mm-hmm. Check out my video. And Destiny Child comes on.
Oh, wow. That, I love stories like this, boy, I tell you.
Because
you gotta just help people, you know.
Oh, I mean, MTV, y'all really bombed on us like that. Because the whole point was, you got a number one record on the biggest radio station in the United States, and they don't even know that you white?
Right.
I mean, that was that powwow moment that we didn't get.
Right.
But
it's all right.
Ultimately, but she's a super talented girl. It was an amazing experience for me to be there to manage her. She opened for 50 Cent.
Okay.
My God. You know.
Yeah. And that's the power of music.
Of opening for 50 Cent.
That's the power of music, bridging the gap between all ethnic cultures. Music will bridge that gap. And to me, it's just like Christians. There's no black church and white church. We're Christians, you know? Should we just be like, well, I'm an Asian Christian and I'm a black Christian. I'm a white Christian. No, we're Christians, right? We're part of the body of Christ.
The body of Christ.
Right. So, you know, well, that was a good story. I kind of enjoyed that.
Thank you.
thank you for sharing.
It's a great experience, you know, and honestly, the young producers, the producers that produced my album came from that era as well.
Oh, nice.
And so I was shopping their music at different labels and publishing houses at the same time I was managing her. So just ironic that whole circle of influence that I was working with, here we are, this many years later, their music is the music that I'm sharing with the world right now. Goodness. And back then, nobody wanted to hear them.
Right.
Now these records are like radio, and like you fell in love with the keyboard.
right. No, that is fire, you know. But, you know, I love music. I have an ear for music. I'm not a singer, so I guess, you know, it's what I used to tell my nephew, because he loved basketball, and I was like, listen, love everything about basketball, because God forbid anything happen, you can't play basketball, you can still be a coach, you can still be a manager, you can still do something different. And that's how I like to approach everything. So, you know, like doing your due diligence in your passion for music, and, you know, just catching things that you need and you didn't even really know you might have needed it. But like you said, and I love it that you had it. So whether you was going to eventually come out with an album or not, even if you was helping somebody else, you have the experience. And no one can rob you from that. And no one can rob you from your talent. People try. But I always say true talent will reveal itself no matter what. It's just like when the Bible says your gift will make room for you.
Right.
You know, it did that exactly for you. And speaking of that, when you're in an industry, whether it's music, cooking, dancing, that is a key element in your success. And success is not platinum and gold. Success is fulfilling your dream. I feel the Holy Spirit. You want to go ahead and comment on that so I can fall back a little bit?
Well, yes. Being prepared, being ready versus getting ready is the fact that, you know, as you go through life, you keep your eyes and your ears open the entire time. I personally have just been a kid who had walked through life trying to learn how to do this, how to do that, how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't shy away from the opportunity to learn something new.
Right, that's good.
So I've been privileged throughout my life, but that attitude and that personality trait has afforded me the ability to just absorb a lot of information.
That's good.
Friendship, a lot of that has to do with your spirit. Mm-hmm. And your ability to warm a room with really without opening your mouth. Because in most cases, your spirit enters a room before you get there. And so through just a calmness and confidence about yourself, you're able to be successful at some things that a lot of people who are shy, who have inhibitions, who don't think I'm confident, well, they're not confident enough in themselves in what they know and what they've done.
Right.
That comes off in their initial presentation of themselves to somebody. So a lot of people, you know, can sit up and make a prejudgment about someone just based upon their not being in the right space as a person.
Right.
I think I grew up as a kid with a lot of love.
Come
I got
on.
A lot of attention. Yeah. So yeah. I was a little baby who they sucked my jaws and he's so cute, he's so sweet, he's so this. I mean, when you get those early age acknowledgments and you build some self-confidence, you just end up walking through a lot of things with that. And that is me. You know,
right.
I sold insurance and investments for John Hancock.
Okay.
In Chicago. And a lot of the clients out here were high-end corporate clients.
Right.
Now, you know, those kind of people of the other color sometimes don't want to let a little young black guy come in and sell them something where they're going to cut a check for $50,000, $100,000,
$20,000. Talk your
talk, sir. They kind of want to associate with certain people to handle that level of business.
You better say.
But I was very successful. I was very successful at going in. And I think a lot of that has to do with my spirit. Mm-hmm. I wasn't coming in here to take nothing, steal nothing,
be nothing.
I feel like what I'm bringing in is some knowledge and some information that's going to open up a window of opportunity for you. And it's just my job to come in and present it. And I was successful at that. So all I'm really saying is that level of confidence, it starts with your spirit.
Yeah.
But the spirit has to have this sense of love.
Yeah.
That's given to you. And see, we as people, we need to be loved first by our mother, by our father,
mm-hmm.
by our sisters and our brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get that much love, now you know what love is.
Right.
So you, when you walk outside of the house, you have a confidence because you special.
That's
you don't
it.
Have to wait on something.
Somebody to
I
tell
mean, but
you.
It's hard,
mm-hmm.
and there are millions of us who don't have that.
Right, that's
but
true.
But I think the beginning and the end of it is, what is your relationship with God?
Yes,
and for
sir.
Me to have had the Holy Ghost when I was 7 years old, baptized in Jesus' name,
mm-hmm.
carried, and spoke in tongues, I was had a relationship with him at a young age. Now, see, it don't leave you.
In one of
my songs, I say, I fell astray from the teachings of the Lord. He didn't walk away from me.
Right.
I didn't walk away from him. I walked away from the teachings.
Mm.
And without the teachings, you can't grow the spirit.
Right.
See?
Yes.
So
yeah.
I'm just saying, I got so much dipped on me between 7 and 14, it sustained me.
Right.
So that I just had something that I'm carrying with me. A relationship, a truth, a understanding, a belief. I wasn't a wandering kid. So by me coming back to Christ 30-something years later, a lot of people would be like, how can you do that? What do you mean? How can you start over like that? I'm like, I'm fulfilling a responsibility to God.
Right, right.
And the reason why I know it is because I wrote these songs 25 years ago, and people like you, Natria.
Yeah.
Telling me you like the song.
Yeah.
So the song is doing something for your spirit. I'm just saying, I'm blessed.
Say it.
I'm blessed.
Listen,
to have this opportunity.
Talk
to
about
be able to
brag
talk to you, to share
on
this testimony.
Brag on God all day. We could talk to tomorrow. We will brag on God all day. Okay?
All day.
All day.
I'm just trying to give you bits and pieces.
Yeah,
of
I ain't even share
so
my testimony with you. I'll do that when we get off the air. But all day. Jesus, all day. Okay? All right. So what's another song on the project you're excited about?
I'm excited about this song called Our Lord and Savior, which is a song I'm mixing today. I thought this song was just going to be this little simple song. And it's the last, a lot of times the last song on the album ends up sometimes being the first or second single.
Right, but, or the hit.
Our Lord and Savior is a song that is so, I called it my Joel Osteen song before I re-recorded it. Okay. It's a little bigger than just my Joel Osteen song now. But not only that one, I have a song called Rescue Me, O Lord, from the Grasp of Unrighteousness. I have a song called I Love Him. Oh, I just love all over God in this particular song. It's like, it's almost, the musical track is a song for sure that you would love to have that music playing while you're with your significant other.
Okay.
And you guys are sharing an evening in front of a fireplace and candle and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The music, perfect in that location. Whatever would be being sang, you know it's a love song. Mine is a love song with God.
I love it.
And then I got a song called Virtuous Woman. And this song is every woman who is a successful woman.
Okay.
And knows and has a relationship with God.
Okay,
she
that's
know
me.
A little bit of something about Proverbs 31:10, right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's in the chorus.
Okay.
Proverbs 31:10, this is where you find her. Walk worthy through the land. She's strong in armor, and nothing can corrupt her. Nothing can compare to the virtue that sustains within her. Competence and encouraging is all she brings to those that are around her.
Okay, see, yeah, now y'all got that exclusive, and that ain't even out yet. Y'all better know Urban Buzz Magazine be doing their thing, okay?
Yes, ma'am. But Virtuous Woman dresses a woman. I've taken the scripture in Proverbs 31:10 and a couple other scriptures near and around it, and I wrote the song Virtuous Woman, and it will be an anthem.
Okay.
When you hear this song, because it's telling you everything that a virtuous woman is, all these characteristics, and you're going to hear characteristics about yourself and be like, yeah.
Right.
That's what I do.
Right.
That's what I do. Yeah.
Right.
It's coming from scripture. So it ain't me making it up.
Right. We're right. It's the word.
Word.
Yeah, it's the word.
Ooh.
I love it.
So I tell people to beware when you listen to these songs. I dare you to learn the words.
Because
if you learn the words, if you learn these words, just pick any song. It don't matter.
Right.
Because you'll be pouring the word of God into your heart when you sing.
Amen.
That's the power in the scripture, hearts of the word and your praise.
Right.
See, all God wants is to be praised and to be put on high. The real and the power of the word of God is getting it in your heart. The hardest part to get it in your heart is very hard, because just reading the scripture, if you open your Bible right now and you start reading the scripture, you'll get to about maybe, you know, a couple of paragraphs, and all of a sudden something's going to say, oh, you got to go call so-and-so. Oh, you got to go pick up your daughter.
Right.
Oh, dang, I forgot to pay this bill.
Mm-hmm.
That's your mind, and that's Satan
Come
who always
on.
Distracts you from the word of God, right?
Yes, sir.
So it's difficult. See, pastors get the opportunity to read, study, and they become professionals at being able to block out Satan.
Right.
That's how they get to be so avid with their studies and their ability to fight off that problem. But us as just mere mortals through songs. And remember, music is rings out in the heavens.
Right.
It's music. There's no instrumentation. Satan would open his mouth and make harmony. His music is more than just the notion. It's something that we all create.
Right.
Whether you hum it or play an instrument or you're affected by it, it's emotional. It's a universal language,
right,
we call it. So just think, if we put the word of God and attach it to some music, and then we sing it with passion and a conviction, then it's going into your heart. Because you're speaking it off your mouth.
That's it.
See, God says, guard your heart. Eyes, ears, nose, mouth. Now, if you sing in his praise, and the praise is laced with the word, where is it going? Straight into your heart. Oh, it's an amazing thing. And I tell you this because I used to love, I smoked marijuana like you drink water. But while I was recording these songs 25 years ago, God took the desire away from me to smoke weed. Good. I never got on my knees. And I'm supposed to be ashamed that I'd be sitting up smoking marijuana and recording God's music and writing God's lyrics and reading the Bible, taking scriptures from the Bible and studying the scriptures as I'm smoking weed, but I'm recording his music at the same time. You would think that, oh, Lord, you need to take this marijuana. No. I love smoking marijuana. Uh-huh. I love everything associated with marijuana. But I'm here to tell you while I was recording, there came a day when I didn't want it anymore. And I didn't ask him. I didn't get on my knees and pray, God, take this away from me. I shouldn't be doing this, touching the word. Your word is so special. We're so. But I tell you what, singing it over and over and over and over again.
Oh, come on.
I just love to love the Lord. He's given me everything. You sing that 24 times, singing the chorus, you're going to get high. And it won't be weed. I'm just sharing with you that God purged my body of the desire to smoke weed, singing praises about him. And I'm just telling you, for the people who buy this record and play this record and learn his music, it's going to change some things in your life, and you'll be wondering what happens. Mm. That's what happens when the word of God gets inside of your heart. Whether you wanted it to or not,
right?
That wasn't your choice for it to change you. I'm telling you, it changed me. Because
right.
I love smoking weed and everything associated with it. But he took it away from me
right.
as I was singing his praises.
And I want people to understand the inspiration behind that is that when we are in covenant with God, God has made a covenant with us. Now, whether we answer the call or not,
correct.
He knows us. He created us. So while you was creating his music, you know, so I just want people to be clear. Oh, he was smoking weed and writing gospel music. The devil. No. See, that's where you're wrong. It wasn't the devil. It's something called, my pastor teaches so well on this, and it's called your future pull. Now, while you're in your valley, and yet while you are a sinner, okay? Oh, no, I can preach. I can go on now. God will
Amen.
Tap you on your shoulder and say, come hither. Now, of course, it's new and fresh to you, and you all in your flesh, and you out there doing whatever. But when he calls you into your future pull, y'all take notes. There's nothing the devil can do to stop it. And the results is Keith Mitchell's new single, declaring and decreeing that he's alive. My God, that was
Amen.
Ended so well. Keith, I tell you.
You,
that
you
was
tied
good.
That up with a bow.
Yeah, that was good right there.
So I'm excited about the mobility of the project at this point. And I'm just getting into the gospel R&B side of gospel radio here in the last couple of weeks. So this is a new effort over here, and I'm excited that, you know, the saints all over are going to get a chance to get dipped in food for your life, because this is the meal that everybody needs.
Well,
this is the music that you want to have playing at the picnic. This is what you want to be listening to.
Yes, sir. And as we say, once a key player, welcome. As one of our key players, we always say, once a key player, always a key player. So as these singles drop,
well, this key player is going to be a key player for you and with you.
Come
and,
on, sir.
I'll be supporting you now and forever. Absolutely.
I appreciate you so
Urban
much.
Urban Buzz
Magazine.
I'm an advocate for it. Always have been. And we already got a relationship through my presence in After 7. So we're going to continue to move forward
with you guys
as well.
This is what I be saying. If we can all just do this, everybody come together and share love.
Yep.
So thank you so much for coming through. We really appreciate you, and we welcome you to the family.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.